Have a Bible, Acts chapter number 10, Acts chapter number 11. How many appreciate the Lord? Amen. How many has the Lord ever done great things for you? Amen. Has the Lord ever forgot you? Has He ever left you? Has He ever done anything to you that just makes you want to look back and say, well, He's not being good to me, so I can just go ahead and leave? We don't have an excuse to quit because the Lord's been too good to us. Amen. Acts chapter number 10, verse number 44. The Bible says, and while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, or they was amazed. They could not believe that the Holy Ghost was falling on everybody. They thought that they had a market on it, but they was amazed when they found out it. And aren't you glad that the Bible said, and we know by experience that God is no respecter of persons. Amen. And the Bible says, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues, magnify God. Acts chapter number 11, if you will, verse number 15. Peter's still speaking here. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us in the beginning. I'm going to read the next verse, but let me stop here for just a second, if you will. Peter, and I'm going to preach in just a minute. Just give me a few minutes, and I'm going to go ahead and get into the message, but I'm just going to stop here for a second. Peter was in the upper room, was he not? Peter was a part of the group that went into the upper room to pray down the Holy Ghost for the first time. The Holy Ghost had never been in existence like it was getting ready to come into existence. Nobody had ever heard it speak. Nobody had ever felt the Holy Ghost before. I mean, the gift of tongues and interpretation had never set on the first person yet. Why? It couldn't have yet, because Jesus Christ was still with them. He walked with them. He talked with them. He ate with them. He supped with them. I mean, can you imagine being at home with the very Son of God? Can you picture talking? I mean, not kneeling on your knees and praying and saying, I know God hears us, but I mean actually sitting down and having a one-on-one conversation with the very Son of God. I mean, can you imagine the feeling that they had? I mean, here they are, Brother Collins here. I can see them as maybe when they get sat down at the Last Supper and they realize that He's getting ready to go, but they don't want to leave Him. They don't want Him to leave them, Brother Hughes. I mean, after all, he was the best friend, and He is the one they turned to, and He was the one they depended on. Peter was there. Peter witnessed the sight of Jesus Christ. Peter saw the miracles that He done. Hey, and it must have been a sad day when Jesus Christ told them, it is expedient for you that I go away. It must have been heartbroken for them men to see the very Son of God tell them. They knew it had to take place. They knew what the will of God was, and they knew that Jesus had to go back into heaven. He was only with them, 33 and a half years, and was getting ready to go back into heaven. And as He's getting ready to leave them, He tells them, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I don't go, the Comforter can't come. The gift of the Holy Ghost. How many's glad for the Holy Ghost? Peter, after walking and talking and eating and supping with the Son of God, sees Him leave. He's gone. And so they go into the upper room to have the Comforter come by. They waited, they tarried, they prayed,
They didn't know what to do. They didn't have any preachers around to preach messages on the Holy Ghost to them. They didn't have no prayer warriors that could get down and by experience know what it was like and help pray them through to the Holy Ghost. They had to do it themselves. They had to depend on themselves to get a touch from God to pray the Holy Ghost down out of heaven. They didn't know how to pray on which manner. Hey, but the Bible said they waited and they tarried. And can you imagine being in the upper room when that sound came out of heaven? And when it sounded like it filled, hey, and it came in the house where they were sitting, the Bible says, and filled, and it said on every one of them, hey, it never excluded one person in the upper room.
Amen. Right.
And Peter experienced the Holy Ghost. I mean, from walking with the very Son of God to being one of the first men to ever speak in tongues. Peter had an experience with God. Amen. Peter knew what it was like to feel God. Peter knew what it was like to have His presence. Oh, and Peter was what could be one of the first to stand and say, I have witnessed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I have witnessed the third person of the Godhead. I've not just heard about Him, but I can feel Him. He dwells inside of me. It's part of me now. The Holy Ghost dwells in me. Peter was a great man. Peter was human. Just like we are. I mean, how many in here is... I can't remember everything, can you? There's some things that I forget very easy. There is. There's some things I never forget. There's some things I can't remember. I mean, it just... I don't know why that is, and I guess with age I'm going to get worse. I guess with age there's going to be some things I'm still not, that my memory may go a little bit. And before my grandmother passed away, she'd sit around, she'd recite some things that happened. She'd say, oh, I wished I could just remember his name, or oh, I wish I could just remember where that was, and oh, if I could just, hey. There is going to come a time that that our memory may not be as sharp as it has always been. But how can you forget, if you're Peter, the experience of the Holy Ghost? How can you forget what it sounded like when it came bursting through them walls? How can you forget the shouting that must have took place when the Holy Ghost came? How can you forget the feeling that had come down inside of you when the Holy Ghost... Hey, but listen what Peter says here in the 11th chapter of Acts in verse 16. And in the prior verse said, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us in the beginning. And then remembered I... Then remembered I. Now, I don't think Peter forgot the Holy Ghost. No, sir. I don't think he forgot what it was like. Not in the least. There ain't no way that he could have forgot. But maybe through the pressures of life. Hey, he had the same worries that we do. The same troubles. The same trials. The same pressures. And his mind had got filled through the day. And I'm sure there were some days that it was hard for Peter to pray. I'm sure there were some days it was hard for Peter to set aside time to get along with God. But he knew he had to. He knew he must. He knew there had to be that time alone with him and God. And Peter, being human just like we are, very easily for us is it for things to slip our mind. You ever got up in the morning? Hey, I noticed even more. I don't have to do it too bad, but I've noticed even through time and certain things. I mean, I just can't get up and say I got to do this and this and this and that and this. I mean, if I want to get it all done, I got to get a piece of paper and a pen and write down exactly what's got to be done, or I'm going to forget something. And I'm going to. I just can't remember it all. But hey, as sure as my name is what it is, and as long as I live, I'll never forget the day that God saved my soul. I'll never forget the day that God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget the times that He touched my body. I'll never forget the times that He reached down and healed me. The times that He reached His hand down in the very lowest valley that I could ever get in, and He reached down for me and pulled me and set me on top of the... Hey, my friend, there are some things that has happened to me in my life that I'll never forget.
Never.
Hey, but the sad part about our church, And the sad part about Pentecostal wisdom and holiness and our the bad part about our whole movement in general is that we are probably the most unthankful. Amen. Probably the most unappreciative. Probably the thankless. Probably we are the most forgetful. By nodding without a shadow of a doubt, we let things slip our mind in our church quicker than anybody that I've ever ran across in my entire life. Hey, my friend, as much as God has done for us and as many blessings as He's poured out on us and the times that He's touched our body, hey, there ought to go weeks at the highway where you can't hardly get a word in edgewise for them shouting the aisles and standing on their feet praising God. There ought to be weeks on end that Brother Collins has to fight just to get a message in. There ought to be weeks on end that the singer can't even sing without the shouting coming. Hey, my friend, you know what? You know what to cause that? It is for our church to get together again and start remembering what God's done for us and where God's brought us and how far He's brought. Hey, I'm here to tell you, I have a bad memory too. Oh, my Lord. But I don't ever, never in my life do I want to forget what God's done for me. Amen. And so we come to our church. And the devil steals every experience that we've ever had. We'll sit there on our seat. We'll be burning up inside to just jump to our feet and say a word of testimony. And the devil will come and say, "Ah, you don't want to testify. They've heard that before. You don't want to tell that. They're tired of hearing it. They're tired of hearing what God's done for you. You sit down and you let the service go on." Hey, next time the devil starts tormenting your mind like that, give him a black eye or two and stand to your feet and say, "I want to thank God for when He helped me. I want to thank God for touching me. I want to thank God for healing me. I want to thank God for answering prayers." My friend, if we ain't very careful, we'll forget what God's done for us. Amen. Not only the highway of holiness, but at 2100 Springdale Road, my good friends here from Brother Boland, right there, and the area churches all around us, if we are not very careful, if we do not watch what we're doing, hey, we will walk into our church house one too many times, silent. We'll walk into our church house, sit on our padded pews, and think everything's all right. I don't have to get in with the preaching. I don't have to get in with the singing. I don't have to get in with the pastor. I don't have to get in with anybody. Why, I'm doing fine just where I'm at. And I'm just comfortable right here. Yeah, and that's what the church of Laodicea thought too, until they found out they was poor and blind and miserable and wretched, naked, and in need of nothing. Hey, my friend, you are never without need in the house of God. I can use more of the Spirit of God. How about you? I can use more of the blessing of God. How about you? Amen. I can use an outpouring of the Holy Ghost here tonight before this service is over with. I mean, it'd do me good to see if, hey, it'd do me good to see us just bust out here tonight and having people shoot up all over the place saying, "I can't hardly leave without telling what God's done for me. I can't hardly contain it anymore. I got to tell you what the Lord's done in my life." I don't know what happened to Peter. I don't know what took place from the second chapter of Acts to the 10th. Not altogether, we don't. Not every event was recorded. We don't know what it took place exactly. But somewhere from Acts 2 to Acts 10, Peter never forgot the Holy Ghost. It was not washed out of his mind. But somewhere in the due process of time, it had slipped his memory just exactly what it was like to see a whole place filled with the Holy Ghost. Somewhere, hey, Peter records, "Now, it's now that I remember. I don't forget the blessings of God. Oh no, I don't forget what the Holy Ghost has done, no sir. But when I came to church, and when I was started preaching, and I saw the Holy Ghost moving again, and when I saw it poured out on everybody, this time it was poured out on the Gentiles, and those of the circumcision couldn't hardly believe it. They couldn't believe that God was going to pour it out on them too. And when everybody there was filled, Peter now says, oh yeah, I now remember what it was like. I remember what the feeling was like again. Hey church, what do you say that at Highway of Holiness we don't get complacent where we're at and get at ease and say, yeah, I shouted 2 or 3 months ago. I spoke in tongues at the start of the year. We had a good service last week. Hey, Lord have mercy. If we think that that's all it's going to take, we are bad mistaken. Amen. I know we ain't going to shout every night. No, sir. If we did, we'd probably get spoiled there too. But we could get there if we tried. I know the Holy Ghost ain't going to fall in every service. At least not the way we are now. But it could. Hey, I know people ain't going to get healed every night. Not like we are, but it could. Amen. I know miracles will not take place every night at the Highway of Holiness or at 2100 Springdale Road or wherever you may attend church at. I know it won't take place every night, but I'm here to tell you it could. It could. Oh yes, sir. If we would just get one church, one group of people, one dedicated bunch that would be so filled with the Holy Ghost and so on fire for God. Hey, when the Holy Ghost was poured out in the upper room, there was 3,000 saved in the same day. Hey, it wasn't very much longer, 5,000 got saved. And when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost, the Bible said great multitudes turned to the Lord and believed. Church, I want to tell you tonight, we can get to that point where revival, it don't have to be a week-long series of meetings, but revival will be every night that we walked in the Highway of Holiness. Miracles will be every night. The Holy Ghost could be every night. The power of God could be every night. But what it's going to take is a group of people dedicated. And not forgetful. And not forgetful. Hey. And so we have come to a point in our church. We have come to a startling halt in our Pentecostal movement. We don't want to shout because the charismatics shout. We don't want to have the gifts of the Spirit because they have the gifts of the Spirit. Well, or at least you think they got the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. We don't want to see healing because they supposedly have healing. And so everything that is counterfeit from what we believe and counterfeit from what we take part of, every false doctrine that's shot up all across this country, it has little by little and gradually more and more stole the power out of the real Holiness Church of God. It has stole the victory from us. It has stole the testimony from us. It has took away our desire to see a move of God again. It has took away our desire to see revival break loose again. But hey, I don't care what the charismatic group does. Let them go. Let them go. I don't care about them anymore. I never did care about them. Amen. I hope they get right with God. Hey, my friend. But let them go on down the road and let's get the power of God right here. Let's let them believe what they want to and pray it down out of heaven right here. Let's let them think what they will. But let's get the gifts of the Spirit back in the church. Let's get the Holy Ghost back in the church. Amen. But some of our church people don't even remember what it's like. You never forgot your experience. You just don't remember what it's like to feel God like you used to. you never forgot the day God saved you. You have just forgot what it was like to feel the Holy Ghost run all over you. Hey, hey, Lord, help me. I wish the Lord would move in this place tonight so strong that we wouldn't be able to stand it. I wish we'd have a few people that would get enough of burden inside of them and enough of desire inside of them that they wouldn't wait for anything else to happen. That they'd say, I gotta see it like it was in times past. I ain't gonna let it die with mommy and dad. I ain't gonna let it die with grandma and grandpa. But as long as there's breath in my body, the highway of holiness will never forget what it's like to see the power of God. They'll never forget what it's like to see the manifestation of the Spirit of God. They'll never forget what it's like to have the Lord fill their midst again. And so if we could see Peter, maybe we'd say, Peter, I know you didn't forget, but what took place? What took place that it bothered you so much that it had to take another move of God so powerful to get you to remember? I want to ask the highway of holiness, what is it going to take to get you to remember what God has done? How long is it going to take great men of God like Brother L.L. Collins standing up in our midst preaching the Word of God to us before we remember? And so now I want to ask you, is it good enough to remember what the Lord has done, or is it better to see it now?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Brother Witt is here. He is my wife's grandfather, and he knows I'm telling the truth. When our church at Liberty Street started in a 7-year revival, that was a great thing. I mean, I never got to see part of that. And my father wasn't even alive when that's taking place. But I heard dear old elder saints of God walk into our church and stand up and say, oh, I remember Liberty Street. Oh, how I remember that revival. Oh, how I remember what God did. Hey, my friend, it's great to remember what God had done. It's great to look back at what God's done. But for the love of God, let's don't look back so long we forget our future. Let's don't look back in the past so long that we never have nothing happen in the present. Let's don't talk about past revival so long that we never have a revival in our generation. Let's don't talk about the Holy Ghost in years past to where we don't never have the Holy Ghost in years present. Hey, I'm glad for what God did back then, but I want to see it now. I gotta have it now. I gotta feel the power of God now. I need the presence of God moving now. Highway needs revival now. There's people in this church that needs a touch from God now. Yeah, God's blessed you in times past, but you need another experience with God. Because if you don't, you will lose out with God. I have seen several people sit right on their church pew and die. Sure, they were unfaithful. No, they wasn't. I've seen some of the faithful sit on their pew and lose out with God. They were troublemakers. Never caused a problem. Lose out with God. They rebelled against the pastor. Never bucked authority once. Lose out with God. Because in their soul, they forgot what God done. And so, I want someone to come to the piano if they will. Is it good enough for you? I'm just going to ask you a personal one-on-one question that I want to ask Brian Miller as I ask every one of you. Is it good enough to remember what God has done? Or is it better to experience what God can do? Is it good enough to stand up and tell what's happened before? Or is it better to feel it all over again? You think speaking in tongues the first time means you've got the Holy Ghost the rest of your life? Friend, you can lose it as quick as you got it. We are Pentecostal around here, aren't we? If we are, you think praying around these altars a few years back until you felt that load lift off you, felt like you was right with God, you think that was good enough then? Or are you going to pray till you feel right with God? Maybe even seek the face of the Lord till you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Crawl up in your shell and die on your church pew. I've seen preachers lose out with God because they forgot what God done. If you would just remember what the Lord had done for you, there's no way you can. As she begins to play, I'm going to tell one story. I heard this a few years ago, and I hope I get it totally correct. I believe I'm getting the straight of this. So there's a man come into his pastor, Brother Collins. Looked at his pastor and said, "Pastor, I'm going to backslide. Just want you to know I ain't coming back to church anymore. You never done anything bad to me. You never done anything wrong. Matter of fact, I think you're a pretty good guy. Good preacher. I like the church, but I just don't want to come anymore. And I just think I'm going to quit. And I don't want you to think there's anything wrong. Just wanted to tell you." The pastor said, "Well, would you do me a favor?" And he said, "Don't ask me. I'm not praying." The pastor said, "I ain't going to ask you to pray. I just want to ask you if you love me. I want you to tell God the same thing you told me." I said, "Well, I'm not going to pray, but I'll do it for you." So the man went down to the altar and he knelt down and said, "God, I just want you to know I ain't here to pray. I'm here because my pastor asked me to. Lord, I'm going to backslide. I'm just going to quit coming to church. I just want you to know you ain't never done anything bad to me. You ain't never done me wrong. You ain't never treated me bad. Just don't feel like coming anymore." And said, "Matter of fact, you're pretty good to me and considered you one of my better friends. As I just want you to know before I leave, just want you to know that I ain't got no hard feelings towards you or anybody else. Before I leave, I want to thank you for saving me when you did." I said, "But I'm going to leave, Lord. Lord, before I leave, you remember that time you touched my body? That time when they said that my daughter couldn't make it, you remember, God, and I brought her to the church and you healed her. And I just want you to know I thank you for that." The pastor said he went from talking to praying. So he said, "God, I just want you to know I remember that time I didn't have a penny in my pocket. I went to church and you helped me. And I want you to know I remember that time when I was out of a job and you gave me one. I just don't want you to think I forgot that, God." The pastor said he went from talking to praying to walking. And he got up and he started walking, saw the pastor. And the pastor said he came running in the back and grabbed him by the shoulders and said, "My Lord, how could you let me backslide?" Said, "I can't leave. God, he's been too good to me." The next time you get in trouble, you just start remembering what God's done for you. And I'll guarantee you, you never leave. Stand to your feet with me if you will. Peter said, "Then remembered I or in our just plain old talking. They went to church. The Holy Ghost moved. Everybody was speaking in tongues. Peter saw it again and said, "Oh, now I remember. Now I remember. I want you to do this for me." Please. If never again, and I hope you never get this way, but please tonight, you gather around these altars and tell God, "I remember. I remember." But as you do, I don't want you to think while you're praying and telling God, "Yes, I remember, yes, I remember, yes, I remember." I don't want you to get to the point that you remember so much about your past that you forget your future. God can move now. If we would just gather together in one mind, in one accord, and remember what God had done for you, I'm telling you, I've seen it happen. I'll tell you what I saw last week in New York. We was praying on a Tuesday night, Brother Collins. Lady come down the aisle. Walked down the aisle to get prayed for. The Lord had touched her. She knelt down to pray. She got up from the altar. She turned the wrong way. Messed her knee all up. She got up and she sort of fell. She walked with a hop all the way back. She had to drag herself nearly to where she sat. She left the church that night without prayer. She came in the next night on a cane. She could barely walk. Her knees swelled up in tears. She was in so much pain, she walked down the aisle. She walked up to the man of God. The pastor said, "What's wrong?" She said, "I don't know." He said, "You go to the doctor." She said, "That's where I'm coming right now." And just last week, we saw a lady with a total messed up knee, swelled. The pastor laid his hands on her. We saw the healing virtue come from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. She started shouting across that building without that cane. The swelling went down immediately, and she left the cane at the altar. She stood up to testify, and she said, "I almost forgot my cane." And she said, "Well, it don't matter. I ain't going to need it anyway. God's healed me." That can happen here. I know it's happened before, but it can happen now. You believe it can? I believe it can. I want us to gather around these altars, and I want us to tell God, "I remember, and we thank you."
The sound of the rushing wind. Well, here.